Praise God. Wasn't that awesome? Come on, give a God a big God bless you. That was exciting. I feel, you know, when I look at that, I feel so energized. We had more demons cast out than you would never believe. And if you don't believe that demons exist, just come with me on a trip to India and you will believe it a lot. But none of that would happen unless you learn how to receive from God. One of the human conditions that we have is a condition whereby we believe we should work for God. Now, there is sowing and reaping, believe me. When you sow good study, if you're going to school, you should get a good education. How many people tried to cram into sowing at the last few hours and you barely passed the exam? Well, you know, see, there's conviction all around this room right now, but especially with the college students. But really, you know that if you study and you sow good study, you reap a harvest of a good education. Same way with work. If you sow a good work ethic, you reap a reward from that. So there is sowing and reaping in the area of faith. But you first have to learn how to receive from God. How many people know the Bible says that Elijah was of like passions just like us? Remember that? Well, let me tell you something. There is absolutely nothing special about Patrick Hoban to make that happen. Nothing. Everything that we have, we receive by grace. But the enemy wants to hold us back from learning how to receive it by grace. You get what I'm saying? Anybody say amen here? Amen. All right, you got to be a little bit Southern to help me along, you know. As if you help me along and you smile, Jesus loves you, I'll preach better. So don't blame me if I preach bad tonight. It's just I had to look at your faces for the last hour. All right. The first thing that you have to get to receive something God, whether it's salvation, whether it's healing, whether it's the gift of the Holy Spirit, whether it's the gifts of the Spirit, whether it's a victorious life, whatever God has for you, because we know that God has a lot for you. Right? We're all standing at level ground at the cross. Isn't that correct? So there's no respecter of persons. Isn't that correct? So in other words then, if God can use me, he can use you. Isn't that correct? Now let's put it this another way. Because we always say that. We say, well, if God can use him, he can use me. How about we take it to the next level? If God can use that guy, surely he wants to use me. Because a lot of the time, we believe God can use us, but we don't believe that God wants to use us. You get what I'm saying? We have that mind blank. And then, of course, we do fight a spiritual battle. We do fight demonic forces. I've been in a battle for the last year and a half. I know that we fight demonic forces. I'll tell you a story. Anybody like stories? I like stories too. I remember I was in this town. I'll tell you the first one. First one, I was in a town called Adoni. And Adoni was, you remember those places in the Bible where it talks about the high places and they would go up in the high places and worship? Well, this place called Adoni had these pilgrimage centers for Hindus. Now, Hindus worship like 30 million gods. There's more gods in India than anywhere else in the world. And so they go on pilgrimage, the Hindus do. They go up there and they worship these gods. And they put the paint, what it is, they burn incense, and they take the incense and put it on them, and it all depends on which caste you are and what god you worship. And I remember we were praying in the hotel room, which is not exactly a hotel. It's like something. So we're praying in this hotel, and as we were praying, a demon god appeared to me. And you know what that demon god said to me? I don't make this stuff up. It's real. He said to me, "But Patrick, they worship me." And I knew he had me. I said, "Okay." Because everything is by volition, by your free will. And because they willingly worshiped these demon gods had authority over them. I said, "Oh, God, have figured me this again. How do I figure this one out?" So the Lord gave me a strategy. I would go to the crusade grounds and I would say, "Who wants to know the God of heaven and earth?" And they would put up their hand. I'd say, "Who wants to know the God that created the heavens and earth and is God of gods and Lord of lords?" They would put up their hand. And then I would say, "How many want to know if Jesus is truly the Son of God?" And they would put up a hand. And as I would say that, you could feel this freedom come in to the crowd. And then all of a sudden, once I just knew I had it, I would bind that devil, and then all heaven would break out onto the crusade grounds. Unbelievable. Well, one time, I came up with all these tricks of the trade. And because the devil is cunning. We've got to be smarter than the devil at his own game. I don't know about you, but I didn't want to get saved. I was enjoying myself. I got tricked into the kingdom, so I figure, you know. So what happened was, I would do certain things. I would say, on Wednesday night, we're going to pray for all the people that want to get pregnant, all the women that want to get pregnant. And so the women would come in. And then the next night, I'd pray for all the people that had businesses. And then the next night, I'd pray for all the farmers. And I did all of that. So the word would go out among the village, "Hey, you know what? He's going to pray for all the farmers tonight." So all the farmers would come out. So I did that. But one time, I was praying in my hotel room, and what happened was I got this sense in my spirit that the people felt fear come into their home. So and they have these small homes, little homes. And when they're sitting at the table or they're in bed at night, they'd feel this fear come in. So I knew that that was a stronghold in that area, and we wanted to break it free so that people could hear the gospel properly. So I said to my interpreter, I said, "You know, tell the people that before we go on with the crusade, I want them to be free from this particular thing." And I said, I just repeated what I said. I said, "Could you have them stand up?" Now, I was expecting maybe 2%, 5% of the crowd would stand up. 80% or more of the crowd stood up. And I said to the interpreter, I said, "You know what? They must have gotten it wrong. They didn't understand properly. It can't be that many people having these demon problems." And he said, "No, Pastor, I told them in their own dialect." Well, do you know, that was the place that we got the victory. Most of that video was the last one that we did. I remember that woman in the purple sari? She was the actual Muslim that said, "I was brought up a Muslim all my life. Now I know that Jesus is the Christ." Praise the Lord. Now, so what do I want to talk about tonight? What I want to talk about is how you can receive from God and how you can be used. I, our pastor here, won't be in the workplace when you're in the workplace. I won't be into school when you're into school. So God doesn't want the big name evangelist to come in and do a revival. Revival can happen exactly where you are at if you believe. If you believe. And I'm going to teach you tonight, hopefully with the grace of God, how to receive this from God. Now, you have to have a want to. If you don't want this, God is not going to give it to you. You have to have a want to. But hopefully, as I share, you'll get a desire to be used of God. The first thing is you need to hear about it. Bible says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Now, we know that verse, don't we? But what is faith? That's the question. I thought faith was some mysterious thing that some people had and some people didn't have. But you have faith. Do you know how many people here know Jesus? Okay, you have enough faith to know Jesus. You have faith. You are persuaded that Jesus is real. You're persuaded that he died for you on the cross. You're persuaded that he will come again to judge the living and the dead. That's why you come to church. That's why you live a life separate from the world, because you believe. Now, how did you get persuaded about that? Somebody told you. Somebody told you about it. And the entryway was when that faith ignited in your spirit and you said, okay, Jesus, yes. And then the Bible says we go from what? Faith to faith. So all you have to do is learn the word of God enough so that you are persuaded it's not just for anybody, or maybe God might want to do it, but you're persuaded that he wants to do it in you. It becomes personal with you. See, when Jesus met the woman at the well, he said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it was talking to you, you would what? Ask, and he would what? Give you. But there was a process. If you knew the gift of God, if you knew the what? Say it again loudly. Gift. And that's the key, because a gift is given without reserve. A gift is given to a worthy person or an unworthy person. A reward is given to a worthy person, but a gift can be given to anybody. Hallelujah to God. Isn't that correct? So that means if God has a gift for me, if I just receive it, guess what happens? It's mine. I have it. But I have to believe. Believe. I know a man one time, he wanted to give his fiance a diamond ring for get engaged. Do you think that she said, I'm not worthy? Oh, what can I do for you? Can I iron your pants? Can I make you your best meal? No. She said, thank you very much, and took it. Isn't that correct? So what? And so that's the same principle. You don't say, God, I'm unworthy. Of course we're unworthy. But it's a gift of the Holy Spirit, or it's a gift of tongues, or it's a gift of salvation, or it's a gift of preaching, or it's a gift of the word of knowledge, or it's a gift of a victorious life. He wants to give you a gift. Praise God. Number one. Number two, you must recognize that there's more to Christianity than being good and going to heaven. You can be good all you want and still go to heaven and do nothing for God. Thankfully, you're good and you're going to heaven. But God has so much more than that. Say more. I like the scripture, he can do to him who can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Don't you like that scripture? Do you ever think about it? Exceedingly. You know exceedingly because you break the speed limit all the time. If you ever got a speeding ticket, you know about exceedingly, exactly. You've gone beyond the limit. So sometimes we have a limit or expectation of what God wants to do in us and for us and through us. And God says, whatever your limit is, I can do more. Oh, I love that. Because I might have a limit. I talked to Pastor Stephen and said, Pastor Stephen, can we get 100,000 people at a crusade? And he said, yes. And then I'm thinking, how in the world am I going to get $100,000? But let's God figure that one out. All I need to say is, God, yes, you want it. He's more concerned about those souls than he's concerned about me having faith enough to get the $100,000. Wouldn't that be fun? Anybody would like to see that? $100,000? 100,000 people, I meant. I'd like to see the $100,000 so I can see the 100,000 people. But exceedingly, exceedingly, there's more. See, Philip went down to Samaria, Acts chapter 8, and he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe? Now, first of all, there's a theological statement right there. You can believe and not receive the Holy Spirit. Or else he wouldn't have asked the question. So John MacArthur, we love you in Christ, but you're wrong. Isn't that correct? Somebody say amen. Amen. So they said, we didn't even know there was such a thing as the Holy Spirit. So the key was now knowing that there was a thing called the Holy Spirit for them to receive the thing called the Holy Spirit, or the person called the Holy Spirit. Isn't that correct? So knowing brought it about. Knowing was what happened. Once they knew, then they could ask. So you must hear about it. You must know that there's more to the Christianity than just going to heaven. And once they believed, what did he do? He laid hands on them. And what happened? They received the Holy Spirit. It wasn't a big Pentecostal massage deal. You know what the Pentecostal massage is, don't you? You don't know what a Pentecostal massage is? It's one of these. In the name of Christ. He didn't need that. Once they heard the word of God, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they began to speak in tongues and prophesy. It wasn't that difficult. It's funny ministering the baptism in the Holy Spirit to Christians and then ministering the baptism in the Holy Spirit to Hindus. Hindus oftentimes receive a lot quicker than the Christians do. That's as true as God. I never forget this woman. She looked like a teacher or something. And she was all nervous. She was like all surprised that she got healed. She said, well, I got healed on Thursday night, but I just wanted to make sure it was true. It was some sort of infection. So she came back on Saturday night, and she said, I'm healed. It's gone. I went to the doctor. It's gone. I said, okay, do you want to accept Jesus into your life? And she said, yes. And I said, okay, do you want the Holy Spirit too? And she said, yes. I said, well, would you like to have a prayer language that you never learned, that you can pray to your Heavenly Father anytime you want? And she said, yes. And right there on the spot, she got saved. She got filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. And she was a Hindu. And she didn't grow up in Pentecost church. And she didn't have to fall over, roll around the ground. And I didn't have to give the Pentecostal massage. It was a good deal. But thirdly, you must desire it. You must want it. You see, the Bible says, open up your mouth wide and I will fill it. God, the Holy Spirit, during this period of human history, will not force himself on you. He will try to woo you. He will try to convince you. He will try to come to you, but he will not force himself on you. What he will do is he will show you who he is, or you'll hear a testimony of somebody else experiencing the person of the Holy Spirit in that intimate relationship. And then that produces desire in you. You know, before there was Mars bars, nobody liked them because nobody knew what they were. Or hamburgers. There was a time that people never desired a hamburger because they never knew what they were. Or an automobile. Or any of those things. Or an iPod or an iPad. But as soon as we saw them, we wanted them. Isn't that correct? Somebody be honest. I like iPods and hamburgers and the whole lot. Here's the deal. God wants to create a desire in you strong enough that you will press through your flesh and any unbelief or anything that would cause you to say, I can't have it. Then you must ask. I ask the Lord, people say this. You ever hear people say this?
Well, if the Lord really want me to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues, he could do it right in my car. Or he could do it in my bed. He doesn't need me to go up and ask for it.
Well, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't say that.
Well, the sovereignty of God. You know, I love the doctrine of the sovereignty of God, but the sovereignty of God, he has already given his sovereign will. And then you must ask for it. That's another whole other subject. In James it says, you have not because you ask not. Jesus is waiting for you to ask. First he creates desire, and then he wants you to ask. But here's the thing. Your conscience will let you know the price that you have to pay to get what he wants to give you. And sometimes we're not willing to let down something so that we can have something else. You get what I'm saying? There's a price to pay sometimes. It's not you're not buying the gift, but your flesh is saying, I want to live my life. And the Holy Spirit is saying, no, I own you, and you can have this if you can lay down your life. You get what I'm saying here? It's like people, and they do this all the time. They'll say, well, I know he's an unbeliever. I know she's an unbeliever. But God knows my heart. Yeah, he knows your heart. You're a dirty, rotten sinner, and you just want to have your own way. Amen? Exactly. And I don't know about you, but God doesn't let me off the hook. He says, some people get away with lots of stuff, and I'm going, how come he can get away with that, and you won't let me off the hook? Because what God wants to give me is worth more than that. You have to ask. Ask. Oh my goodness, there's so much more I could do. Remember the blind man? Now, the blind man was obviously blind. And he came up to Jesus, and Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? Now, some people will, just imagine, if you had money in your pocket, let's say it's $50, and somebody needed gas to go home, and you knew they needed gas to go home,
And they came up and say, well, why should I have to ask? And somebody else might be offended because they would have to ask. That blind man came up to Jesus, and Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? Even though Jesus had the power to heal right there, that man had to ask. But once he asked, Jesus healed him. There's a spiritual battle that goes on the inside of you. Asking means you're willing to leave something to get something else. And that's why sometimes it's a struggle. Why do you think sometimes when the Word of God goes forward and it's definitely convicting somebody, yet they struggle to come forward? Because somebody wants to be Lord. I'm saying that for somebody here tonight. I don't know who it is. But somebody wants to be Lord. It's either Jesus or you. And the battle wages. And at some stage, somebody is going to win. Hopefully, it's Jesus, because he has the words of eternal life. He is life itself, in fact. That's the battle that you're experiencing, maybe even right now. Maybe right now, your conscience is flipping back inside of you, and you're saying, well, I'm doing that, I know, but God understands. And you're trying to reason your way out of it. I tried to reason my way out of it. I thought I was very smart. What I did was, I said to Jesus, I said, if you're out there, I want you. I don't know what these guys have, but I want you. Thinking that nothing would happen. When something happened and the power of the Holy Spirit came on my life, I knew I could accept him or reject him. I had to give up the battle. But once I did, Jesus changed my life. Isn't that awesome? But then there's another step. So you hear about it, you want it, you ask it for it. But then there's the old condemnation trick. Do you know that one? Where you feel you're unworthy to receive. You must know that you are forgiven. One of the biggest hindrances for people to receive from God is to know that they are forgiven. And what's worse is that other people want them to feel unforgiven. How many people know that God forgives? How many people know that God forgives and he remembers no more? Isn't that correct? But you ever do something and somebody else keep reminding you of it?
Yeah.
Right? You know, you did that. Well, in the same way with you, you may remember something that you did a year ago, 6 months ago, 10 years ago, and it's bothering you. But the Bible says, that if you confess your sins, he will forgive you your sins and cleanse you from 90% of your unrighteousness. No, all of it. Don't you love the word all in the Bible? All of it. So what has to happen at some stage is that we need to agree with God and say, God, you have forgiven me 100%. I choose to do what you're doing, and that is, I'm going to remember it no more either. Praise the Lord. And when you do that, what happens, it frees you up to receive. You know, if you're a parent-child relationship, either you were the child and you had a parent, or you were the parent and you had a child, do you ever notice that children, if they think that their parents are angry at them, they won't ask them for anything? If you think that God hasn't forgiven you, and you think he's angry at you, you'll never be able to go to him in boldness and confidence to ask for him. But once you realize that you are forgiven, And here's the other thing for Christians. Here's a big humdinger. You ready? Do you remember when you first got saved and you got the Holy Spirit and you're, oh my goodness, this is so good. Everybody should just be in love with Jesus. Oh Lord, I'll never sin again. That must be the number one lie in the universe. Right? And then you sin and you go, I feel such a failure and a loser and I'm just not worthy and I can't even believe the Holy Spirit wants to do anything in my life. Let me tell you something. If you turn away from that, you can't keep on walking in it. He will forgive you completely. And you've got to know that. Then you got to surrender. Say surrender. Ah, the old surrender thing. I remember the Lord working on my heart. And even today, he gets on my case about so many things. And I don't like the surrender part. It's like getting crucified. Do you ever feel it? It's like your flesh is dying on the inside and you're going, no, I don't want to do this, even though I know it's the right thing to do. It could be even going over the speed limit. For me, an Irishman, that is so difficult. But I don't like the tickets. But really what I want to do is learn obedience from the heart. Surrender. When you do surrender. Look what the Bible said in Acts chapter 2. It says this, repent and be baptized of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But there was a condition to it. The condition was repent, turn around, have a different attitude, completely turn away from that lifestyle. And guess what? You shall, say shall, receive the Holy Spirit. You don't receive the Holy Spirit first. You say, God, I'm willing to surrender all. I'm willing to give it all up. And guess what happens? Once you make that decision, the Holy Spirit just comes to your life like that. He comes in. You don't have to pray hard. You don't even have to do anything, really. You just stand and receive. It's the simplest thing in the world. You don't have to pray through for 5 hours. You don't have to tarry all night long. Now, sometimes you have to tarry because you're struggling. You're struggling with the surrender thing. But once you surrender, it comes straight away. Same with all of the gifts. How many people would like to be used in healing? Let me tell you something. Let me let you in on a big secret. The healer lives on the inside of you. Jesus, the healer, lives on the inside of you. Healing or deliverance is not that hard. It's really not that hard. All you have to know is that the power of the Holy Spirit is dwelling on the inside of you, and through the name of Jesus, you can cast out a demon. I actually think that is the most fun, casting out demons. Casting out demons is a lot of fun. I don't know, maybe it's the Irish bent in me. I don't know what it is, but I get a kick out of it. And the reason why I get a kick out of it is because the devil knows who's boss, and his name is Jesus. And that's a lot of fun. I was telling Pastor George here before the service, how much more, Pastor, do I have? Pastor, how much do I have more? All right, so I'll tell you a story. I was telling Pastor, in India, when I got up to preach, we would have demons manifest. They start moving like this and start crawling on the ground and doing all kinds of antics. And we had a pastor called Pastor Christopher, and we called him the Demon Buster. Just like the Ghostbusters, he was the Demon Buster. And he had a unique way of casting out demons. I never saw this before. He would just grab them by the hair and drag them and then command the demon to come out. And we had demons coming out right, left, and center. It wasn't that hard. All you have to know. And here's another thing. You shouldn't be scared of the devil. You should be not scared, but fearful of God. The devil is a fallen angel. He's crafty. He's smart. He can move in. He can do awful things. But the devil is a defeated foe. Think about this for a second. What do you have that the devil doesn't have? First of all, he disarmed. The Bible says he's disarmed. Right? He's disarmed. In other words, he has nothing except lies and accusations. That's all he has. You have the blood of Jesus covering you. He doesn't. You have a heavenly Father that loves you. He hasn't. You have the Word of God. He kind of does, but he kind of messes it all up. You have the power of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. He doesn't. And not only that, you have something so powerful. You have, if you pray in the Spirit, you pray in a language you can't even understand. I really think it ticks them off. It'd be like the NSA trying to tap into a telephone and couldn't understand what they were saying. Right? And then you have the name of Jesus. You have all of this and he doesn't. The only thing that he has, though, he's called the tempter. And if he can tempt you into an area in your life that you know is wrong, well, what he does then, he puts condemnation on you and fear on you and guilt on you and despair on you. Not so that he can just, you know, take you to hell with him, but so that you'll never fill your fullest potential. That's what he's scared about. So surrender. Know that it's a gift. And then don't fear. One of the things about the Holy Spirit, people fear about receiving the Holy Spirit. You ever hear this? Well, what happens if I receive the Holy Spirit? Does that mean I'll be out of control and I start speaking? I'm going to the Jewel and all of a sudden I try to talk to the cashier and I start talking in tongues and people think I'm nuts? No. The Bible says, "What the spirit of the prophet is what? Subject to the prophet." In other words, the Holy Spirit may urge you to speak, but it's still in your control. One of the hardest things, the thing that I find most difficult in ministry, is stepping out in faith. That's hard. Because you always have you in the equation. I remember one time a man was meant to come to our church. Big preacher at a huge church, about 10,000 people or something. And he was coming. He was like, you know, preacher, coming. The plane broke down. And this was Faith Week. This is like this is the hurrah of the hurrah. This is like, you know, yeah, we have the worship team and we have Brian is coming and we have Jay from Scotland. And pastors are all would tell you, I could say the same thing that he says because I'm the guest speaker and people might hear it better. Isn't that true? Always. I know the story. I've been there. And it really does you in. Man, I can't believe he said that. I never heard that revelation before. And I go, I just said that last week. So what happened was, I'm lying in bed, and saying, Brian, what's going on? He says, the plane is broken down. I don't know if I'm going to get there. I said, Brian, you got to get here. He said, I don't know if I can get there. The plane is broken down. I'm going, oh, come on. I want to break from this thing. I'm being honest. I just want to break. I don't want to preach. I want to break. And preachers get that one. And so anyway, he can't come. So, and here I am tired. All I want to do is sleep. I am in no mood to preach. None. In fact, I didn't want to be there at all, if I'm being honest with you. I mean, so I would like to, we had this green room. And And I keep on telling pastors, see, I'm not really a pastor. He's so good at it. I'm not that way at all. So the compassion is just not there. So I'm getting the green. Lord, help. These people are expecting something wonderful, and they think that it's going to happen, and Brian Zahn is going to walk out there, and it's going to be a wonderful night, it's going to be the best preaching in the world, and he's not here, and all they got is me. And familiarity does breed contempt. It's just him. It's that guy. Drinks coffee. Terrible. So what happened was, I went out on stage, and I'm telling you this because you could be in the same situation, maybe in a different way, but that's how it is. You could be in that same situation tonight. I go out there, and I don't feel anointed. I feel tired. I said, all right, I'll preach. So I started to preach. Oh, my goodness gracious me. The Holy Spirit came out. Things started to happen. Oh, the sermon was pretty good. And then what happened is the Holy Spirit said, this is what he said to me, do an altar call and prophesy over people. And that's the hardest thing. You know how much faith you have to exercise? Because now people are coming up. Now, I was praying like three people, Lord, three. I can handle three, maybe 10. The whole church came forward. There was like 300 people at the altar. I'm going, what did you do? So they're all at the altar, and they're praying, you know, and yeah, Jesus is here, and God is going to move. And I'm like, I have no clue if God is going to move, but I've learned one thing. This is what I've learned. If Jesus says to step out, he'll meet it. He'll meet it. So I'm behind the pulpit just like this one. Actually, it was a big glass one. And I step over to the side. Now, I'm not feeling anything. No feeling, not wanting really to do this. But I step over to the side, and as I step in faith, you see, this is the key. As I step in faith, not in fear, the Holy Spirit gives me the first word of knowledge. Now, what happens is, when you get the first word of knowledge, first of all, you get relieved. You're like, oh, thank God. I'm being very honest with you. And I lay hands on this woman, and I said, I believe the Lord is saying this to you. And she goes, yeah. And then I have to go to the next person. And then as I step in faith again, the Holy Spirit comes. So I had to use a stepping in faith every time. But by the end of the night, all of those people, the Lord ministered to them. You get what I'm saying? It wasn't good enough for me to have faith for the sermon that morning. It wasn't good enough for me just to have the sermon that night. It wasn't just good enough for me to have the faith to step out the first time. I had to have it every single time. And here's the thing. The feeling came second, not first. So when you're asking God to fill you in the Holy Spirit, you have to step out in faith before the feeling. If you want God to use you in healing, you got to step out before the feeling. Let me be honest with you. Can I be a little bit honest? I'm going through something now that I never experienced in my whole life. I never would want anybody to experience. I didn't want it, but I'm experiencing it. This is my life right now. And I remember thinking, well, all right, I can take some time off ministry. I can work on stuff, make sure my emotions are good, make sure everything is good. And this Wednesday, I got the phone call. And my emotions were in a wreck. And the temptation is, here's the deal. The temptation is, call the whole thing off. I'm not in the place to minister the Word of God because of what's happening to me. But then the Word of God says, the gifts and calling are irrevocable. And so then I said, I choose to believe God and not my emotions. And so I said, by faith, I'm going to get into the car. By faith, I'm going to go into the hotel. By faith, I'm going to get my message ready. By faith, I'm going to stand in the pulpit. By faith, we're going to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. By faith, we're going to see people get saved. By faith, people are going to receive the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. And that's the life of faith. Fear will hinder you from that. Well, I can't do it. I'm not good enough. Whatever it is. Fear will. But faith triumphs over fear. Faith triumphs over fear. And then when you do step out in faith, then you say, I can't even believe God did that. That's the most amazing thing ever. And then you get what's called like an addiction to it. It's like you like it. I can't wait to cast out my next demon. Where are they? Start looking around for demons. Anybody else want to get healed? I tell you this much. How many people have ever laid hands on somebody and actually seen a miracle of healing? Okay, I want to tell you right now, I'm going to prophesy over you. You're going to get an opportunity to lay hands on people for healing. I'm going to believe it into existence. Now, whether you step out on it, that's your deal. But that's going to happen. I never forget. I tell you about the first demon I ever cast out. So my friend Al Reiner was gifted in discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits is where you see into the spirit realm. That's discerning. It's not discernment. Discerning of spirits, seeing into the spirit realm. Well, I remember an evangelist coming to town from Africa, and this kid started manifesting a demon. Now, I worked up all the faith I have to join in prayer for the deliverance of that young man from a distance with knees going like this. In the name of Jesus, demon, you are out of here. You forget to pray. You don't know how to pray. You just know the name of Jesus, and then you start praying in tongues. Because you don't know anything else. And I remember I was in Belgium. I don't know if I told this story before. I was in Belgium a long time ago. And I worked in this company, electrical engineering company. And what happened was I was hungry. And I wanted to eat pizza. And there was a great Italian pizzeria just around the corner from where I lived. But there just happened to be a prayer meeting going on that night, which I always attended. But my stomach wanted pizza more than my spirit wanted the prayer meeting. You know what I'm talking about. And so as I'm walking down the street down to my favorite pizzeria, the Holy Spirit says to me, you know, just kind of like knowing that nudge, go to the prayer meeting. And I say, no way. I say, well, and then the arguments start coming. You never do that? Well, if I go there, the door is locked and it's late and I'll be disturbing everybody. And then the Holy Spirit says, go to the prayer meeting. And then I go, okay, I suppose. See, I'm not like this super obedient, yes, Jesus. I'm like kicking and screaming all the way down. I'm like, come on, right? I'm upset now because I don't have my pizza. So I kind of grumpy. And I go in there and I sit down. And I'm looking at everybody. And then I saw something. I saw this darkness around somebody. Now you have to remember, I never had cast out a demon in my life. I just read books on it. And now here was my opportunity. And I tried to be, you know, when you're stepping out in faith, you kind of try to, you know, try to maneuver a little bit, you know, try to pay it safe. You know what I'm talking about? So you kind of like, you know. So I said, what is this, God? And I got Mark chapter 16, and they shall cast out demons in my name. I said, no way. And then, of course, you know, that Holy Spirit is on the inside of you. You better, boy. Because I'm going to get you if you don't. So what happens is, I didn't go like, man, you have a demon. You got to get it out. What I said was, I believe our sister needs prayer tonight. Very safe. It was like safe as you could get it. It's like, man, that's safe. It could be for anything, hemorrhoids, who knows, you know. So I go over, and this woman comes alongside. I said, I think we should pray together. And I start praying with her. And I, of course, I know the faith walk. Well, it's a demon, obviously. I said, did you ever read tarot cards? And you know, she said, I was into Tibetan magic. I said, what a great opportunity here we have. Like, tarot cards would be easy. Tibetan magic, we're on a whole new level. So I said, do you ask for forgiveness for that? She said, yes. And I just did this. I said, in the name of Jesus, come out. And then I prayed in tongues. And praying in tongues doesn't cast out demons, just build my faith up. You know that woman got delivered? Still following God today. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? And let me tell you something. You are called to do that. The Bible says that the believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall be healed. The believers shall cast out demons. We were trying to get snakes here for tonight, but I didn't get any. But that's what God wants you to do. That's where God has you. And if we're going to reach the lost, it's not because Pastor Jones is going to have a great sermon on Sunday morning. If we're going to see people get delivered, it's not because he's in his prayer closet 5 hours a day and you don't have to be, you can watch TV. It's going to be because the Holy Spirit gets a grip of you and he says to you, you have a calling on your life to do this. And then one day, you're in this place, and God says to you, go up to that person and just talk to them. And you go, can I tell you one more story? I remember the Holy Spirit doing that to me one time. Just go up to somebody and talk to them. And this is what I did. Okay, and I walk all the way over and turn right back. And then the Holy Spirit would convict me. You know, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before the heavenly Father. Oh, come on. So I go over again. I can't do this. Then he lays it on me like he's like, you better. So I go over there and I go, nice day, isn't it? Yeah, it is. I go back over. I said, oh, man, I really blew it. See, the first time you step out and do something, you're just learning. It's not going to be like you have it all, your theology in the right place, and then you act on it. No, what happens is the Holy Spirit gives you a little nudge, and then you say, okay, God, I'll be obedient with the nudge, and all of a sudden something happens, and you go, oh, by golly, that is cool. Pastor Jones, you won't believe what happened today. Praise the Lord. Do not fear. Every good and what? Perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. He's not going to give you a stone when you ask for a fish. He's going to give you something good. I know because I'm a father. I love my children. If they're going through pain, I'd like to take it myself. And the same way with our heavenly. Then you got to stand on the promise. I'm going to close here real quickly. The Bible says, wait for the promise. Say promise of the Father. It's not that you have to wait for it, but sometimes there's things in you that God is working out. But it's the promise of the Father. You know what the Bible says? Pray for the best gifts. Forget the humility stuff. Put that aside. God will make you humble. He has no problem in making you humble. People would say to me when I first wanted to go and reach the lost, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? I said, you know what? That doesn't bother me. God has just told me to do it. I'm just going to do it. God will work it out eventually. Are you with what I'm saying? Forget that. That's religion. That is not of God. God will teach you humility. If you think you're somebody good, God get a hold of you. After a while, you go, my goodness, Lord, I want to quit. Do you know most pastors, not Pastor George, of course, but most pastors I know, and I know a lot of them, they don't feel worthy at all to be in the pulpit. They want to get out. One pastor said, and this is like a pastor of a large church. He said, I wish I had a normal job. You know that? Because what happens is you get behind it and there's like the honeymoon period. Oh, God, this is so good. I get to preach and people think my sermons are wonderful and God is showing up. And then something happens. You go, oh, come on, I got to prepare a message again. I'm reading the Bible and I can't get anything out of it. Oh, and the people are complaining about me. And all of a sudden, you say, God, I can't do this. I need your grace 100%. And that is when you learn humility. So don't worry about the humility business. God will take care of that, believe me. But have the faith business. Stand on the promise that what God said he wants to do, he'll do. And I'll give you three more steps and then we're going to close. And I have a good message for tomorrow night. Hopefully I'll get all the props. So if anybody here has an antique store or something like that, let me know because I need something really bad for tomorrow. A few things actually. The next one is do it the Bible way. Now, how many people here, I don't want to embarrass anybody, pray in tongues? Okay, many of us. Now, here's the deal. I want to tell you something. Besides salvation and the gift of the Holy Spirit, one of the best gifts you will ever have is praying in tongues. Praying in tongues. Now, I'm not doing this so that we have five people up here tonight. Well, we got five people baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's a good meeting. No! I've come beyond that a lot. I'm doing it because I know how powerful it is for the individual. And the Bible way is this. That the apostles laid on hands. Remember in Samaria, Acts chapter 8. Philip went down and he preached the gospel and they gave up their magic books and they were all baptized. Now, how does the Bible say you're saved? Well, with the heart one believes and with the mouth one confesses, and he is what? Saved. So if they confessed true way their magic books and were baptized, would you say they were born again believers? That's what the Bible says. But when they went back to Jerusalem, now this wasn't like they picked up a cell phone and, hey, Peter, you know, I'm down here. These guys are just stubborn. They're not getting the Holy Spirit. No, they had to journey down there, have a meeting, probably have a cup of tea, whatever it might be. And then they journeyed back down there. So you're probably talking about a week or something. Or more even. It could have been a month. So there was a period of time that these people didn't have the complete infilling of the Holy Spirit. So they did it the Bible way. The apostles went down and laid hands on them. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit came upon them and they prophesied. Now here's the connector. Later on, Peter says, that was Cornelius' house in Acts chapter 10. Seeing that they have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So the experience that the apostles had in Acts chapter 2 wasn't different than the experience in Acts chapter 8 or Acts chapter 9. It's the same experience, and you can have it today. Hallelujah! I think that's awesome, don't you? You can have the infilling of the Holy Spirit today and pray in a language that the devil doesn't understand. Build yourself up in your most holy faith and worship. When I was on this trip, I was working with a friend of mine. He said, "You're talking gibberish in your sleep." Well, I was praying in tongues. "Really?" Yeah, I said, "My mentor used to do it. I pray in tongues in my sleep. At least, that's something good, right?" And then you do it the Bible way. Come forward. We'll pray with you, lay hands on you, and you press through. And here's what happens. I remember one time I was down in Indiana at the church. And I remember this dear, sweet lady came forward. And I said, "Do you believe that the Lord wants to give you the Holy Spirit and this wonderful gift of tongues?" And she said, "Yes." Good. I laid hands on her, and she goes, "No." Even though with her mind, she wanted to believe, her heart wasn't there. But as we pressed through, and what was interesting, we just had a saintness delivered that same night. And he received the Holy Spirit, but this sweet, sweet Christian lady couldn't get it because of what somebody told her a long time ago. So press through. Don't give up. The first time you lay hands on somebody for healing, they might die. Nothing may happen. It's the scariest thing in the world. And then you're wondering, anything, move something, will you? And that's the truth. And you're like, "Well, is it real? Is it not real? What's going on?" But if you keep on pressing through, you might get to see that many people saved in one meeting. Wow! Somebody get excited. I'm nearly done. The last one is this: step out in faith and move your mouth. A lot of people think that when they receive the Holy Spirit, it's going to be this wonderful Six Flags experience where you're going down and up and in and out. And it's not like that at all. It can be, but usually it's like very simple. I just got to talk. Not in English or Spanish or whatever other language you might have here. You step out in faith and move your mouth. And by faith, as you step out in faith, the Holy Spirit uses your mouth and you start praying in the most beautiful heavenly language. I'm going to close with this, and then we're going to pray. We're going to pray for different people tonight. And it's a simple act of faith. It's not like we have to, do anything dramatic. Although one time when people were resisting, I did jump over a whole bunch of pews and got to somebody and laid hands on them. I'm 45 now. I'm not going to do that anymore. But here's the deal. When I got the gift of tongues, people were giving me the Pentecostal massage. I told you about that. And it didn't work. I felt that people were trying to force it on me. Or some people do this, say hallelujah real quick, real quick, real quick. Or say it backwards even. No. I'm telling you, people do weird things in the Pentecostal movement. But this dear lady knew where I was emotionally. And she just says, you know what, Patrick? You just got to believe God that God wants to speak, that you are his child and he loves you enough to give you this gift. He cares for you enough. I said, all we're going to do is we're going to pray. And then I want you to say the first words that come out of your mouth. And then what happens is you think it's going to go to your head. Well, you're going to get a word in your head and then you're going to talk it out of your mouth, but it doesn't happen that way. The Bible says, when I pray in a tongue, my mind is unfruitful. It doesn't come through your brain. It comes out of your mouth. And I said, what happened was I said two words. I can't remember what they were. She said she got the interpretation, which was praise the Lord. That was pretty good. She said, now, you have to keep on going in faith. You can't stop now. You have to keep on going in faith. So I walk down the main road, and I say my two words. And then what happens is that all of a sudden, out of my innermost being, this river of living water came out, and I started praying in that new tongue. And then I ran home as quick as I could, because I realized where I was in the middle of the street, first of all, which is a bit odd. But then I didn't want to lose it. I kept on praying in tongues. Now, my mother's a different story. I like to sing in the shower, tongues, on occasion. It's private. Nobody really can hear me. The water's flowing. I can sing to my heart's content. And my mother was at the bottom of the stairs, and she got prayed for several times for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I came out of the shower, and she was at the bottom of the stairs in our old house, and she said, I don't know what ye guys are saying, and she tried to mimic tongues, and guess what happened? She started speaking in tongues. You got it right. She started speaking in tongues. And a fright came all over her face. And I said, Mom, do you realize what you just did? And she said, no. I said, you just started speaking in tongues. And she's been doing it ever since. Tonight, God wants to meet you where you're at. He wants to meet you at a special place. I'm not going to force it. I'm not going to beg you. If your desire is to be filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking tongues, we will lay hands on you. And the Bible says that you will receive. The Bible says that if you are truly surrendered to God. If you're somebody that wants to step out in faith, let me turn this another way. If you're somebody and you feel a calling, and I don't know why I'm saying this, but there's a definite calling to do, say, overseas missions or a pastorate or the evangelist or whatever that gift is, and you feel this tug, this calling, and how you'll know it is it'll kind of come like a vision. You'll see yourself doing it somehow. You see yourself preaching. You see yourself casting out demons. You see yourself laying hands on the sick and they've been healed. You feel it. This comes to you. That's a calling. That's a Holy Spirit speaking to you and giving you that desire so that you'll step out in faith so that he can equip you. I believe that some people tonight can be the night, and I feel this strongly now, can be the night that you look back and say, I said yes to that calling on my life. Now, oftentimes when you'll say this, you'll have people say, I think I'm called. No, I'm talking about, no, it's stirring up in me. I'm getting stirred up. I want this. I want to see that. If that's you, now, you could be a businessman or something that says, no, I feel called to go overseas, maybe not to preach, but I want to pray with people. I want to see churches planted. That could be your calling. But tonight, I believe that could be your night where you look back and say, yes. That was the night that I said yes to the ministry that God has called me into. And I believe then, by stepping out in faith, I believe that God is going to equip you for that very task. Amen. I'll say one more thing. Evangelists always say that. But some people are called to fund the gospel. That's their calling in life. They maybe not called to preach, but their calling is to assist. And maybe God is calling you to do that, either for this church or whatever God has called you to do. So don't dismiss just because you feel you're not called to preach. You could be called to assist the ministry of the gospel. And so tonight, let's just bow our heads for a second. And it's very, very simple. It's not hard to do. What I'm going to do first, and I feel this by the Spirit, if you are somebody here tonight and you feel, yes, Patrick, I feel called to do ministry. I feel called to lay hands on. And we're all called to do that ministry. But you, it's stirring up on you. I want you to come forward and say, that's me. I want that. I want that in my life. And we're going to pray for you. And then after that, what we want to do is pray for people who want the infilling of the Holy Spirit. You want to be able to pray in tongues. And then after that, we can pray for whatever need is in your life. So tonight, Lord, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus, those who feel called to do something for you, Lord, I just pray right now that you would stir them up. And I pray, Lord, that they would make a decision tonight to say yes to that calling on their life in Jesus' name. Now, do not worry about what other people will think. I say, get over the humility business. That's okay. But if you feel called to do that and you want to make that decision for tonight, now is your chance. I want you to get out of your seat and come forward and say, yes, that's me. Okay, brother. Anybody else here tonight? Could be a woman. Could be a man. Could be a teenager. Come forward. We want to lay hands. In fact, we're going to anoint you with oil. Anybody else here tonight, you feel, I want to do that ministry. Or even there's a businessman. Say, yes, now I don't feel called to preach, but I do feel called to support a ministry like that. Why don't you come forward? And we're going to lay hands on you tonight. Amen.